We're gonna get started. You're over here. We changed.
Same thing.
Easy entrance.
Mr. Proudy, do I have any public comment?
No, sir, you don't.
We have no speakers intending to make public comment to the board, so we can move to the next agenda item.
You're gonna do an invocation and pledge.
Yes, I was going to do, oh, I'm sorry. We'll do the invocation and pledge. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was doing that next.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I jumped ahead.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us safely together this evening. We are so grateful for all that you have provided us, and we ask for your guidance and direction as we proceed in this meeting. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so since I did public comment already, we'll go to the president's report.
Thank you, Chairman. First on the equity report, I think I had the chance to reach out to most of you just to let you know that it's a little bit different this year. The state got a bit behind, and so they've separated out the report, and the part that's with you tonight is just the employment part. The entire plan will come back, or the entire report will come back, hopefully in June, if the state gets the pieces done that we need to bring back. But for now, this is the employment part, and just to remind everybody, it's kind of looking in the rearview mirror. Even the goals are in the rearview mirror, but the overall goal that is presented to us is that we want a employment base that matches our student body. And so the strategy we have responded is how we might go about getting there by virtue of our turnover. And when we have turnover, making a concerted effort to try and have a more diverse body of employees. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, because if it looks different than what you've seen before, it's because you're only getting a part of it. Also, before you have my report. I want to remind everybody, this week and next week are very, very busy weeks. This week, this Friday, we have our honors convocation, very exciting, on our Venice campus at noon or at 12:30, and then here this coming Friday at 7 p.m. To recognize those students in each of the areas where the faculty have selected them as the outstanding students of the year. That's always really exciting. Also, there will be our Brain Bowl team to be recognized for their success and other various things at the institution. Then next week gets big. That's when we have many of our different health science programs have their pinning ceremonies and end of the year events. But starting on Thursday night, we have our graduation on our Venice campus for our collegiate school class. More details are on your page. And then Friday will be a very busy day, and you're welcome to come and be part of any or all of it or some portion of it. But we start in the morning with our Bradenton Collegiate School graduation, followed by our walkthrough. And that is sort of the abbreviated commencement where students can walk through and simply have a picture taken and get their diploma. And then we have our nursing pinning. And after that, we have our first of two commencement ceremonies, one at 4:30 and I think one at 7. So I think all of the board members are able to come to one of those, hopefully at least one or close to that. And those of you who can't, I know you've been to others, so I appreciate that you try to when you can be. But it's going to be a really exciting day. We do have some food available between the two ceremonies, because it's going to be a long day for a lot of people, and we invite you to join us for that as well. So that, Mr. Chair, is my report, but I'd like to turn it over to somebody you've seen before, Dr. Bryce Pride, who is coming back to give you some information that you requested about the student satisfaction survey, particularly related to the additional or the abbreviated summer schedule that you approved for us last summer. Dr. Pride.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me. Today we are to present the results of the employee survey. And like you said, we did the survey last year, and this was a follow-up to that survey to provide results based upon the feedback we got from other survey from last year. So for the survey, we had a 75% response rate, which is really, really good for a survey. And of those that responded, 75% of them were employees for two or more years. And then, you know, practically everyone besides one or two indicated that having that time off was a positive impact on their work life. And so when we asked the employees about how having the days off been packaged, you fell into kind of three different groups or common themes. And they were the ability to spend more time with family and friends, whether it be vacationing or just relaxing, enjoying time. The ability to schedule appointments, whether it be health-related appointments or, you know, maintenance or whatever the case may be. And then just self-care, general better morale, just being able to relax and enjoy time. These are some of the verbatim responses that were related to those things that were mentioned. Just pulled out a few of those, and I'll just read those off to you. I'm able to relax with my family while also scheduling annual well-being and home maintenance appointments. Having the extra day off in the summer gave me more time to spend with my family and was so good for my mental health. I also felt that when I came back to work, I felt more focused and energized. Then it allowed me more time with family, as well as time to recharge batteries that can run low during the school year. This is a perk that has kept me at the college, and it's an added value. Couple more here. It allowed for a greater flexibility of coming into the office and scheduling a weekday for getting administrative or healthcare stuff taken care of without having to take a day off. This helps with scheduling in the office, so coverage is kept. I'm responsible for an aging parent's finances and other health-related responsibilities. Having that extra day off during the summer allows me to schedule appointments on those days without having to take off during the regular workday. And then the last one, just being able to do things that need to be done that can only be done during work hours, were just some of those key things that related to those themes kind of came survey. And then we also asked about other factors that would positively impact you as being an employed SCF, and the common themes that fell within this were the option to have a flexible schedule, the option to have salary adjustments, and then having a schedule that's typical to other higher education institutions. And those are all the results. Are there any questions? Yes, ma'am.
That was great. I love the 99% yes rate. So great. Can you give us an example of what the scheduling similar to other higher education, to that last bullet you had in the last slide? Can you give an example of I have no concept of whether we're like or unlike any other institution.
I think having just a summer schedule, one thing, and also having spring break off. That's two examples.
We do or we don't?
We don't.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And I did reach out and leave messages to you that we're not asking you for any action at this point in time, because we have a number of things that we're looking at around those additional items that that our employees indicated would be of value to them. And so we'll be bringing that back at a later time. Potentially next month, we might ask you just to approve July as the short week so we can get through this summer and then look at a more comprehensive approach after that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
But Dr. B, just real quick, just to clarify, that was for the shortened work week during the summer?
Yes.
Okay.
What we asked the board to approve last year was July and June, because that fell in one fiscal year. So I would ask you, could you, at the next meeting, we'll ask for July so we can get through this summer and not for the July and June again until we have a chance to look for that. A more comprehensive approach to retention and attraction of employees.
Stop. Thank you.
So I think we have meet the mission, and then we're going to hear a bit from Dr. Nielsen, Dr. Hale on enrollment.
Spring for the fall that was prior fall. And then Dr. Nielsen will be talking about a couple of the additional strategies. So we're going to be looking at some trends in enrollment, student retention and persistence data, and some of the student success data. It's one of the slides that we generally show. You're all pretty familiar at this point with the correlation between unemployment rate and student enrollment. And look at the last 2 years, it's of note that the student headcount enrollment has stayed almost flat while the unemployment rate continued to decline. So that's a positive for us. Usually you would expect that student enrollment might go down if unemployment's down. That was a good positive, just a spike there from COVID. The little asterisk for fall 22, at the point at which the numbers were pulled, the Federal Reserve only had the unemployment numbers as a tentative number. It wasn't a finalized number yet.
I'm sorry. Do we ever look at this with the labor participation rate in addition to unemployment rate?
I did not look at it that way. We could try to in the future.
I just know that those numbers are a little out of historical yeah. norms, which might explain part of the reason why we haven't seen a decline in our student enrollment.
It could also be, although I think, well, yeah, it could be. A lot of that employment rate and the non-participation might be at different age ranges too, so it might be a little bit more difficult to look at, but certainly try to look at that as well. Next slide is revenue generating credit load for fall, and you'll see that although we had a tiny downtick in headcount, we had a tiny uptick in credit load year over year in fall, so the students continue to take more credits or maintain a larger number of credits. Average class size this fall also came back up a little bit. Fall 21 was obviously an interesting one for students, but it's way back around.
Okay, but I'm sorry.
Sure.
Do we have an ideal size that we shoot for? I mean, we do a lot of different types of things where different class sizes would range all over. I didn't know if we had a ballpark goal there.
It's kind of more of a range because we have large classrooms right. and we have very small classrooms. But typically, Ryan, if I remember, we're somewhere between 18, 19, 20 usually, right? Somewhere in that range typically.
You know, as students go online, it sometimes changes the nature of that a little bit. The online classes are a little bit different to manage. Some of the larger ones are face to face. Just has to do with how the students are participating. Assistance and retention numbers continue to hold. And recall that the persistence rate, 75%, our 75% is all students. That's comparable to roughly the national rate for just first time in college students, which first time in college students generally trend a little bit higher. Our first time in college rate is closer to 79 or 80. So it's a really strong number. It means that all of our student body is persisting at roughly the rate that those first time in college students do nationally. Okay. And we see just kind of over this last little period in general upward trend. Course completions per attempt holds roughly steady, right around 80-81%. That had come down a little bit in fall of 20, but we've maintained kind of since then. Didn't fall as much as some of the national numbers did over those same periods of time. As students move to different learning modes, as they take higher course loads, as they take more online classes, sometimes it's a bit of an adjustment for a student to begin taking an online class. They have to schedule their time a little bit. Yeah, race and ethnicity numbers. The kind of noteworthy piece here that continues to grow, and we brought this to you and talked to you, the Hispanic population of the college continues to grow as we further engage the community. And as that community continues to participate more and more, it's also quite a bit above the population of the area. So that's kind of an interesting. The next one is,
yep.
Nope, oh, I have one. And then the gender slide. The one thing we did go back and look is I checked out how this compares if we added Manatee County's Technical Institute and Sarasota County's into these numbers to kind of see those are higher in terms of their males, but their populations are a little smaller than ours. So it kind of, when I throw all their numbers in as a region, we're still only about 60-40. So there's pretty good opportunity to see if we can enroll more young men in higher education. Any other questions for me?
And some of the efforts and the things that we are doing based on the numbers that you saw from Dr. Hale. The first thing is college and career success updates. Again, this is our academic advisors in our area. One of the things we focused on is kind of some of the grassroots efforts. And we had sent out an inquiry to all of our instructors, all of our faculty members, to see if they would have any flexibility for our success coaches to come into their classroom and give a slight presentation, whether it was 5 minutes that we could give an update or 30 minutes that we could do a little bit deeper dive. It was a captive audience. We had the support of the faculty members, and we have continued to see this go up. That's why I think we're seeing the persistence and the retention, is because it's right in front of them and it's hand in hand support with faculty. So those were the classroom presentations. We talked about everything. This is now your time to register for the summer. Now time to meet with your academic success coach and plan out the rest of your degree pathway. Have you filed your FAFSA? Have you looked into scholarships, right? Those are the reminders that we are able to do face to face. DegreeWorks, I'll show you a slide next that talks about DegreeWorks. It's our academic tool. It's our plan. Think of it, if you have a healthcare app and you go in, you have your care providers, you have your appointments, you have all your test results, you have everything at your fingertips. That's what DegreeWorks is for our students, as well as for our success coaches. So my academic plan can be in there and I can take a look at and see what I've completed, what I have yet to complete, what my GPA is. And then if I have any questions, I can reach out to my success coach. They can log in and they can see my plan. So to see 2,400 plans in place, that's a win. That is going to potentially cut down on unnecessary foot traffic so that our students are planning ahead 2 years, 4 years for a baccalaureate degree. Maybe they switched a major and they just recognize that by switching a major, they shaved off a semester. That's what this tool does. So we're really excited to see those numbers grow. And then a picture right here, this is the last of our hashtag Get Hired series. It was again a collaboration with our faculty. And in 26 West, we had a career fair and it was robust and it was buzzing and our community was involved. We were there, we were looking at our graduates too to hire and keep here. So that was a really successful event that took place last week. This is the plan. Sorry, it's hard to see, but it really, if I quickly just go through some of it, it talks about the basic demographic information. And then what you can see over here is it talks about an associate of science in dental hygiene. They're in good academic standing. They have an accounting pathway, AA, if they're looking at that pathway. It talks about any designations. They're PTK, Phi Theta Kappa, and and then it talks about how many credits they've pursued, they've gone after, what their GPA is. So this is the tool that they can go in and see their boxes starting to be checked. Do you see the green check marks? They're on their way. And then they can also go, how many times have we had our academic advisors hear the question, what else do I have to do? Here it is. Here it is. It's a tool that's 24/7 at their fingertips. So this is what we are utilizing, and we're excited to see it grow. Our recruitment efforts are fast and furious. And a lot of the things that we talked about is working with our middle school students. So I just wanted to share some numbers with you. From Sarasota, Palmview, Oasis, we're seeing these students come through, and even our elementary schools, we see participation with them. And this is what we like to do, is to have them experience this like normal, so they understand what college is and they can experience all the way from elementary to middle school, high school, and then join us. The one piece too I want to talk about is participation Project Teach. Has anyone done Project Teach with Manatee County? We probably had at least five. It is where you volunteer and you go into the fourth grade classrooms in all of Manatee County. And what was unique, I was able to do it again this year. A few others in here did it as well.
you go in there and you ask just questions of the fourth graders, things like, how old do you think I am? What kind of job do you think I do? Just based on what you see. It's all about perception. And then I was able to hand my SCF business card to every single one of the students that they staple to a sheet and take home to mom and dad, along with a card of their business card that they designed for themselves. Now think about five of us, different staff members, instructors, faculty going out. Those SCF business cards just went home to everyone. And we had that experience. The other really unique thing, I was at Bayshore, the fourth grade classroom. Both the teacher and her husband were SCF alums. And it was just another great connection. And then customized outreach and communication. Here's an example of a nursing campaign that we designed. We were able to collaborate with Dr. Sawmill and send this off. It's all dedicated to State College of Florida. The really unique tool is with our CRM, our customer relations management tool. We can track how many clicks, how many engagements for all of those students. So again, it's data that marketing will utilize. It's data that our nursing department can utilize to see, even with an email communication, are they receiving it? Are they opening it? And are they engaging in it? So that is happening across the college. The more marketing events, this is just a sample of what the campaign is right now. You may have seen it out on social media or in purchase advertising, but we will have this summer open houses that will take place. Again, we can encourage applications all the way up until the day we start classes and even afterwards for our flex start. This is a new event that I'm excited to share with you. It's something I've highlighted before. It's a specific engagement event. This is when we want our enrolled students, so students who have come, they're signed up for fall classes, to join us in July and talk about, now how are you going to be an engaged student? Here's when we have athletic events. You should come. Here's all of our on-campus employment opportunities. Do you need a job? Let's go through that and get you into a position here. Here's all of our clubs and organizations. Have you heard about Brain Bowl? Right? Let's get you active and involved. We've always done this the first 2 weeks of classes. They're overwhelmed. They're overstimulated. They're in the first few days of their classes. So we're bumping this up and continuing that engagement with them. We're also focusing on that to hopefully reduce what we call summer melt. Those students that may have changed their mind, they're getting nervous. This is the time that we bring them back. We have Mav running around with them and we get them re-engaged with us and confident to join us in August for classes. The last bullet piece on here is for our late applicants. Our students that wait until the end of July, and I've talked to you about this, they are rushed through. They apply, they're accepted. All of a sudden we need to get them enrolled. They need to do their FAFSA, make sure they're on a payment plan, do all of these things. So we're gonna create business after hours, a VIP experience to say, thank you. Thank you for applying. We're gonna be here after hours to help you. We heard it with flex hours and a day off. We'll be here in the evening for you. We'll go through your FAFSA. We'll talk about the payment plan. Do you need to use or file for a disability resource center? We'll be here. So again, it's not penalizing our late applicants. We want to champion them and really encourage them that they've made the right choice. And we don't want you feeling rushed coming into August. So that's another new event and opportunity that we're opening up. And the last piece I want to just go back to the third bullet on there is orientations. Something that we've talked about, I think a year and a half ago, probably, our new student orientations, we sent out to all of our faculty and staff to come and invite them to sit in on a new student orientation. I just hired a new executive assistant, and 3 days later, she sat in the new student orientation to have an understanding of what our students hear and what we do. Again, it's empowering our own to understand, here's what we do. So we open that up and that's available too. If any of you are interested, you're more than welcome to join us for a new student orientation and see what it's all about. And then just the last piece on the campaign, again, we are really trying to streamline So when our students click on that banner, you'll notice a few things. We're trying to emphasize mail. We're trying to make it clickable, easy, accessible. So if they're not interested in a degree, maybe it's a workforce certificate. So when you click on register, it gives you all of your options right away. So you don't have to find it on the website. So we're really excited about some of the marketing initiatives that we're taking on. Questions?
I have one. I should ask Dr. Hale when he was up there. But I was curious on the percent of Hispanic students. We have like 25%, which is, I don't know, it's got to be at least twice of what our community is, the two county area. that is awesome. How do we explain that?
I think, you know, I think within the community, I think things that have happened, we've seen the trend grow since our collegiate school opened. I think some of the initial getting into those, that marketing, into those families.
Those have a very high percentage there, don't we?
I'm not sure what the, yeah. And I think that as the community understands the process more, it's knowing how to get to college and what's required and how it goes. You know, the more that families know about it, then the more people keep coming through. I think it's just when the community isn't engaged in it initially, getting past that first, you know, few people from each family go, then everybody else goes. So I think that it's just a lot of that getting into communities and families, and everybody follows that path.
I know word of mouth is pretty important in the Hispanic community. Hispanics very broad, but
even on Sunday we had our SCF Expo. We partnered with Unidos Now so that they were able to be here in partnership with us to encourage full families to come and learn about State College of Florida, which that was something new. It was on a Sunday, it was an afternoon, and it was in complete partnership with Unidos.
How'd it go?
Great. So it was the first time doing it. We had over 50 participants from little all the way through. So we're definitely looking at ways to expand it. Again, it was a first of many things, but we had a number of incoming students that completed their FAFSAs. We had a student that completed her admissions packet. And then we had a current student with two small children that didn't know we had the C Campus grant for childcare. So we were able to make those really important connections. So while it wasn't robust in attendance, it was very fruitful with the conversations. Great, thank you.
Thank you. We're moving on to approval of non-financial consent agenda items. Does anybody have anything that I need to pull from the exhibits?
I don't need anything to pull, but I'd like to say something about Ms. Goddard's Fulbright. That's a big deal, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is this the last thing she has to do to get it, or is it an award situation, or just get the scholarship? I don't know. I don't know anything about the Fulbright, except I've heard about it.
She's sitting right there. Hi. And she has the award, and we have to approve international travel, and that's always approved by our board.
I have no problem with it at all.
The award letters right here.
I just want to say congratulations. Thank you. Thank you for representing us in this. That's great. Congratulations. I'm proud of you. Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion.
Don't move.
Second. any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries. I'll entertain a motion for the approval of financial consent agenda items. Does any of the exhibits that I need to pull to be discussed?
No? I have a question on the financials. You want to pull it or just ask?
Pull it. Which one is it?
Financial first one.
H. All right. So we're gonna entertain a motion I through L.
Move approval I through L.
First and a second. Any discussion on those? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries, and we'll come back to the Goodson's questions on H.
Julie, page 50. in our original budget or in our budgets for the Classic Cleveland School student. Sorry, page 46. Pardon me. Our budget area under income. State of Florida. Sorry, 45. State of Florida is our largest. Is our largest income. I'll get our largest amount of income from the state of Florida. And a very small, in fact, you had it originally budgeted zero from this federal government. Is some of that federal money inside the state money to be appropriated to us?
No, the federal money that you see was from the three previous years of HERF funding.
Okay.
The CARES funding that's associated with COVID-19. We haven't budgeted the rest of it yet this year because we don't know what's going to be left. We're waiting for the end of the calendar year to put it in.
So on a normal year, we get zero from the federal government?
We get some, but we get some grant indirects, but not this much.
Not a normal rotation of funds. But the state is, we do get normally get X from the state.
Yes.
That we encounter.
Yes.
Correct. Do they tell us before our budget period or we just have to guess?
They tell us when they finish approving the budget during the legislative session. That is next Friday, May the 5th. The governor then has a period of time before he signs off. So usually in the May meeting, I'm guessing, but it's a pretty good guess. By June, we have our exact numbers.
Okay, flipping over to page 46, and then this is the upper division, upper
yes, sir.
Level program. What I was just talking about was our lower level, which is our bread and butter. Now, this is 67% through, so I'm going to again talk about the original, we'll talk about the entire thing in June, but I notice here that we get very little from the state and nothing from the federal government. Is that normal?
Yes, sir, that's correct. We get a flat amount of $178,164 from the state. Been getting that same amount since we started having baccalaureate programs. It precedes me, but it's been the same every year since I've been here. And the same with federal government.
The majority of our income comes from student fees.
That's correct. And by law, we have to balance these accounts for upper.
Okay. Now we actually turned a profit in 22 and are turning a profit to 67%, but we have to budget at it, zero it out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's it.
Can I follow up? That just raises a question for me. The federal money, but we have federal aid to students.
We do.
And so that follows the students, obviously. Does that show up in the student fees portion?
That does. No, that shows up. It's a separate accounting mechanism that we don't usually bring to you.
Hmm. But the money comes to us.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't actually understand that.
Okay. All right. Well, students pay their fees to us, many of them through financial aid, and that appears as student fees. Mm-hmm. But they also get additional money for living expenses, et cetera, books, other things. And for those who get those from federal funds, you won't see that piece of it here because it goes directly to the student.
It goes to what?
Directly to the
right, so it's going directly to the student. So that money is not coming to us. That's going to.
Well, we manage it from the federal government, but you don't see it in our general fund budget.
Okay. All right.
Can I just add to that? If you go to page 52, that's kind of where you see that U.S. Department of Education money that comes into us, that goes to the student, that they then use to pay us for tuition, that shows up as student fees. The balance of which goes back to
the state,
but that reflects that money that comes into the college and is.
Did they give us any funds for handling all this form?
Matt,
commission.
So.
Happy.
Entertain a motion to approve Exhibit H.
So moved. Second.
I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Those in favor? Those opposed? That motion carries. As usual, page 55 includes a project list. If anybody has questions for Julie, you can ask them. If not, we're moving on to old business. Do I have any old business? Do I have any new business? We have new business.
New business is where we stand with our legislative budget request at this point. As Julie said, the session comes to an end next Friday. Right now, it's kind of that dark period of time where there's a lot of give and take going on. But last we were privy to where they were in the give and take, there was $9 million on the House budget for our parish campus. There was no match to that yet on the Senate side. But PICO is typically the very last thing that gets dealt with. Right now, they're looking at the general appropriation. The communication that we've had with our local delegation, right now it looks like they both agree on $100 million for the Florida College System, which sounds like a lot until you there are 28 of us. So when you break it down, it's not really all that much. But what we're advocating for, as we shared with you, that model that we put together, that they put half of the money in the side of the model, which sort of just looks at your program mix and your graduates and all those kind of factors. We kind of call that status quo. And then the other side of the model is trying to create parity amongst our institutions. So what we've been advocating for is put half the money on the status quo side, half the money on the catch-up side, and that you set the threshold on the catch-up side at 60%. And that's key because 60% is what percent of the national number we want to be to. So there are 13 of us that are even below 60% of the national figure. So our theory is let's take care of the worst first and get everybody up to 60%, then look at 65, then 70. The House originally had 70% in the status quo, 30% in the catch-up at 70%, which was not ideal for us. The Senate had 50% in status quo and 50% in catch-up, which we like, but they had the catch-up percent at 95%, which meant every school was going to get money, which meant there was going to be no closing of the gap between us and the other institutions like us. And right now we're at about 60 cents on the dollar of those institutions that are like us in size and program mix. And so we have made our local delegation aware of this. If you're in communication with anybody in this dark period, 50-50, 60%. That's what we want in the funding model. But that's where we are right now. And we wait every moment. They're still meeting to see if something breaks, but at this time they meet all night long. And so as soon as we know, we'll be able to start working together on the budget. But right now it's a waiting game. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That's Julie's favorite time, Meg. But... yeah, that's 8 down. any other new business? So I'm going to do board comments a little different. I know Mr. Fuller has some comments because I know somebody left them for him. And other than that, anybody that has comments or willing, you're able to share your comments. So Mr. Fuller, I know you have a couple comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a matter of fact, I do. As the liaison to the foundation board, just wanted to give you an update on the work of Cassandra and her team over there. So for current gross earned fundraising revenues as of yesterday, budget was 1.3 million, actual 1.9 million.
Dang.
Yeah. Thanks. That's right.
Good job.
Well done.
Make sure you report that. God. So 600,000 over. It's also 200,000 over the same time last year.
But so in kind of a challenging months that we'll be getting for. So I do think that will start shrinking.
That's called an official sandbag.
Yeah.
For the record.
Never.
Lower expectation.
Managing expectations.
So the increase is attributed to fundraising with individuals and corporate business organization donations, primarily from individuals creating funds, receipt of bequest, and the SCF nursing fundraising initiative. So that is what they are attributing the variance over budget. And then Evening Under the Stars, and thank you Dom and Suncoast Credit Union for being a major sponsor, and I know Taylor and Ryan and Mark was there, and I was there as well. The revenue, the total revenue was $147,000, net profit of $95,000, and the budget was $52,000. So great job on a great night. It was your first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's good. It was good, and the weather was great. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I have just one that it was great. We had a chance to, some of us meet with Burgess Owens several weeks ago, and I just wanted to mention, I just really appreciate how much Dr. Prostfeld and others on the staff, how quickly they respond to opportunities to see things and make things happen. You know, Owen Burgess was a fairly famous NFL player. If you're old enough, you might even remember him playing. And he's just got a great story, and he's encouraging in a lot of ways. And he was here to speak to which high school?
No, he was here to speak to our students, but he was invited to speak to Aquinas.
Aquinas, that's at Aquinas too. Yeah. And so anyway, I know that was pulled together on short notice. I don't know how it all happens. It's magic behind the scenes, but it always seems to work out. So I'm just appreciative of that.
To the Girls Inc. luncheon, which is 600 people strong. And one of the leadership award students, a student within Girls Inc., won the Strong, Smart, and Bold Award and listed State College of Florida as her institution for the fall. So it's very exciting to hear that. I love getting great leaders, especially female great leaders in our course. So just wanted to congratulate her.
Great stuff.
I shared it with Dr. Prostfeld as well.
A couple stories real quick. I told the story earlier, my first event for the fundraiser event, and I got placed at a table where I knew nobody, and it was quite intriguing because I sat next to people that had just retired here to the Inglewood, Sarasota area a couple years ago, and the gentleman that was there used to be the head of the Chamber of Commerce in Ohio, where they're from, and one of his big legacies at the Chamber of Commerce was his work with the community colleges in that district, that area. So his wife had seen the ad in a publication somewhere in recent weeks and said, hey, let's go support State College of Fundraiser. That was her first time. And they brought friends. And it was interesting because when the, everybody's holding up their money cards, the lady on our table gave $1,000, the friend, and then they gave $500. And I just thought it was really neat to see you made your rounds there and you made your rounds there, which was really cool because that was my first event. So I didn't know anybody. So it was pretty cool to see them really embrace and give money. That was pretty cool. $1,500 right there at the table. So that was pretty neat. So that was my experience. Had a good time. Great job. And the other thing is that on the athletic side, our SCF baseball team just won the Suncoast Conference Championship and we'll be heading to the state tournament. Last home game is tomorrow, right, 6 o'clock, which if we can go, if everybody wants to go. The girls beach volleyball team finished 7th in the country at nationals. So not, they won the national championship last year, but they finished 7th. So that's, some of the sports stuff. So anyway, just thought you want to know.
And tennis is going to nationals.
Tennis is going to nationals. There you go.
Get it in.
How about that?
Fantastic.
Mark?
As liaison, board liaison of facility management, Chris and his senior staff poured me a couple of hours to be with them the other day and went over our control systems. And I thought it so intriguing that I thought I should share it with the board so you know what kind of management system we have in place in the facilities management. Now, I was an electric contractor for 50 years, and quite frankly, I've never seen a more comprehensive, sophisticated computer internet, energy management and maintenance control system in my life. It is absolutely fantastic. And Dr. Prostfeld, Julie, for allowing us to have the money to put this in place, because it is absolutely incredible. I kind of want to walk you through it just a little bit if I could. Every piece of equipment that we put in this, our three facilities is logged on computer screen. It has the management, maintenance included into it for that piece of equipment by the manufacturer. It also has the life expectancy of that equipment. All these things are produced, the computer produces a dollar amount for it. So a work order is produced off this computer screen that says, go to cooling tower number 6 and repair the and make sure the belts are okay on motor number 3 for that, or whatever the case may be. And it tracks it through the entire life of the piece of equipment. It also produces at the end, for next year, you'll have to have this much money for the maintenance of that piece of equipment. And you're going to need to put aside this much money for replacing that piece of equipment. The intriguing part is that the human element is that technician can report back to that computer system and say, this motor is running better than expected, and I think we can get 3 more years out of it. Or it's not producing what it, I mean, it's not running properly, and we better shave that back down by 2 years. And again, it generates the numbers that Julie would need for our budgeting purposes. It is incredible. But another integral part of it is we can in real time bring up, or it will do it for us emergency wise, motor. We'll be sitting here in Brayden and a motor on a VAV in building 6, a room 13 down in Venice is overheating. The sensor will tell it. It will pop up on the screen in our computers. When you see it, it comes up and actually shows you a diagram of the machine and what exactly is wrong. And if the temperature's not too bad, we can put it off for a couple of days to maintain it. Or if it's shooting, you know, we're going to have somebody go there immediately. It is a fascinating system. It is saving us hundreds of thousands of dollars and has allowed us to budget properly. If you ever get a chance to go through it, I think you'd be very impressed. It is amazing. Where does all this come from? It comes from us being a member of this organization, APPA, which they don't call it that anymore. They changed the name to Leadership and Educational Facilities. They produce, let me read it to you, performance measurement tools blending quantitative and qualitative matrix and analytics to drive and control improvement. And you might like to know what drives Chris's people down there according to this. It starts with customer satisfaction. Our customer is our administration, our faculty, and our students. That's how Chris's people look at what their number one goal is, to keep those customers happy. This goes to service level that we can obtain with the amount of money we're given to obtain that service level and the costs that are involved in it, as you can see in this diagram here. And then it gives you a balanced facility management. I'm running through this very fast. It took 2 or 3 hours to go through, but I wanted to show it to you. Each one of our employees gets this maintenance score sheet. So a technician goes out, is he on time? Does the professor, did we fix the problem in the professor's classroom? Yada, yada, yada. Did we clean the furlers properly? Yada, yada, yada. This all goes in and Chris can bring his people in and say, these are your reports. You did great this year. You did bad this year. You've got to pick it up, whatever the case may be. And I want to skip real quick because I know it's getting late. This is how we are doing as a institution. The green is as good as it gets. Yellow is a little bit off. Red is terrible. Okay. This is the SCF facility management performance trending. And this goes to a number of different areas. I won't bore you with it, but please notice the green. This is compared to everybody, by the way. This is performance trending on different categories. Relates it a little bit differently. All greens, one yellow. no rent. And this is another port, basically the same thing. Now you can see some yellow here. This all has to do with energy usage, which quite frankly is out of our control. But you can see what this does and what all this means boils down to. Out of 28 schools, there are college, we're number one. Chris's department. If that wasn't enough, because of the inside of this board, taking the recommendations of Chris and Dr. Coatsfeld, we by the end of next year will complete construction on $27.5 million in projects. Only way we could ever, I mean, that's got to be an all-time record from day one. There is absolutely no way our 42 employees, how many we got, Chris, you said?
Less than that.
Whatever it is, could oversee all this or do all this. If we hadn't gone to construction management criteria. I asked Chris what he estimated what we would have done. He said maybe 1/16 of this. And as you know, most of this money came through CARES Act money. And you can already see, although thinking it's going to pass, the House of Representatives to try and get all CARES money that had been spent, brought back to the federal government. So because of our diligence, his diligence, and us going ahead with these projects, we're getting all this in the ground in 3.5 years. Well, it might be it's 2.5, right? 2.5 years. That's an amazing step for this organization, for this college. And Chris has done a great job, and I appreciate his effort. Thank you.
Any other comments you want to pop that? No, I just want to say, I really enjoyed being under the stars. And Rob did a great job again up on the stage, as you always do. So I'm looking forward to next year.
Mr. Chair,
yep.
I do want to recognize these two young girls that are sitting back here.
Yeah.
I don't know how they sat through this meeting. So engaged. That was great. Thank you all for coming.
Love it.
That goes the quality of parenting there.
That was something. That was really nice to hear.
Dr. Price, apparently here.
You should see him run.
Yeah, sure. So this is my wife, Price, celebrating our 2-year anniversary in August.
Congrats.
Our daughters, Azaria and Amira.
Nice to meet you.
Well,
future SCF students. Yes. So Brittany will be coming to see you all.
There we go.
We expect a PowerPoint presentation.
You got it.
All right, Dad, you got to take them out to dinner now.
We're adjourned.
Okay.